Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 tonight is where we will begin. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. It is a verse that certainly speaks to our heart, especially in the day in which we are living. Listen to what the wisest man that ever lived said. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, and we see that every day, ladies and gentlemen, in our nation. And it's because we have violated this scripture. Now I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. This is right after the flood, and the first thing that God did after the flood was this. Okay, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The population had dropped to 8. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. That's an incredible thing when you think about what God has done. He's protected us. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat? And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. That's the first thing that God did after the flood was over. He instituted, ladies and gentlemen, capital punishment. And along with that, with capital punishment, he instituted government. That's right after the flood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the duty of the preacher is to shine the light of Scripture on relevant subjects. Capital punishment is part of a larger issue that we're going to look at this evening. That larger issue is called humanism. Humanism is the thought, is the doctrine that deifies man. Now you're going to have to stay with me through this, and we're going to draw some conclusions at the end. So first of all, is human government ordained of God? And the Bible says, yes. It began in the days of Noah. God put into the hands of man government. Now, I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 13. And this kind of brings it to where we are today. But it all started in Genesis chapter 9. God instituted government for the execution of capital punishment, folks. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. He's talking about government. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In this portion of Scripture, God has laid out what the role of government is. The role of government is to reward good people and punish bad people. And when a government begins to reward bad people and punish good people, we are in trouble. And if you want to look around today, you see that happening a lot. Punishing good people and rewarding the bad people. And I'm not going to go into all the different things of that, but they are many and you know them very well. Second of all, does God ever take life? Yes, he does. God is the author of life. He is the divine creator of life, and he takes life as he will. Okay? And it's always right, and it's always good. There's many illustrations of God taking life in judgment for sin. In the book of Genesis, beginning in chapter 3, we have the foundation of why God had to destroy this world in the flood. I want you, let's just read a little part of it. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent," now, I'll just say this in passing. At this point, the serpent was not what we think of as a snake today. The serpent was the most beautiful of all the animals. It was after the curse that was placed upon the serpent that they became a snake to eat the dust of the ground all the days of their life. But here, the serpent is the most beautiful of all the animals in the Garden of Eden. Okay, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, let me just say this. God didn't tell her not to touch it. She's adding to the Word of God. It's wrong to add to the Word of God, and it's wrong to take from the Word of God. And she just added to it. You're not supposed to eat it or touch it, lest you die. All right? That's mistake number one. "And the serpent said unto the woman, You're not going to die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the tree of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Sin started, and that sin progressed. Go over with me to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. God gave man 120 years. What happened at the end of the 120 years? The flood came, and they were all perished except the ones that were in the ark. My point is this. God takes life according to his perfect will. You remember the two sons of Judah, Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire before God, and he killed them both. You know about Korah and Nathan and Abiram. The earth simply opened up and consumed them. God smote Uzzah, who simply touched the Ark of the Covenant when it looked like it was going to fall, and he touched it, and God killed him. God sent an angel and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night, the Passover night. Another angel sent by God killed all the firstborn in Egypt. Thousands and thousands were killed. God killed Herod for his presumption and his pride in Acts chapter 12. God killed Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. God sometimes takes life, and ladies and gentlemen, that is his prerogative. Anytime he does, it's always right, and it's from God. Third, is all killing murder? No, it is not. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13 is the sixth of the Ten Commandments, and it simply says, thou shalt not kill. You would better understand that by saying, thou shalt do no murder. Okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 2, the Bible says, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Talking about a group of people. God told Israel to do that. And you look at that and you say, well, God said you're not supposed to kill anybody. There's no contradiction here. The sixth commandment is to the individual. Scripture does not allow personal vengeance or retaliation. And in Exodus chapter 20, you cannot take life indiscriminately as an individual. The other one, when God said, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, that was the government. God said that. God told Israel to do that. There's no contradiction here. Here's the deal, folks. All murder is killing, but all killing is not murder. Thou shalt not murder. Capital punishment is not murder. It is ordained of God. We need a biblical perspective on this. Next, does God ever authorize human government to take life? And of course, the answer is yes. God established capital punishment in connection with government. That power and government is God established and God ordained. And let me just simply say this. Mercy to the criminal is cruelty to the community. Go to San Francisco. Talk to the ones that were making their living in the Walgreens there. All the Walgreens shut down in San Francisco. And it's just because they would not enforce the law of God that says, thou shalt not steal. And the people were going in, stealing, but they had to do less than $1,000 and then go home and come back and get another $1,000. Folks, the Bible is very, very plain about this. Henry VIII in England years ago pardoned a murderer. He killed again, and a second plea was made. And here's what Henry VIII said. He killed the first man, but I killed the second. I will kill no more. He must be executed. And he was absolutely right. Those today who would be responsible for not having capital punishment are individuals who assume to be wiser and more loving and more merciful than God Himself, and that simply is not true. God ordained the extermination of all the Canaanite nations, and He did that. It was necessary for the preservation of the human race. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that years ago, Mount Vesuvius exploded. At the bottom of Mount Vesuvius was a town called Pompeii. Remember that? What happened? It destroyed the whole town. When they unearthed that, one of the things that was absolutely rampant was their hatred toward Christ. You know what they had? They had a cross, and on all the crosses, they would paint a donkey on the cross. And you know what? God simply said, that's enough. You're not going to do that to my son. And he destroyed that entire town. There were some other issues in Pompeii, but that was the major one. I've seen men who had a part of their body removed because of cancer. The surgery was necessary to save the body. Capital punishment is surgery for a group of people and not murder. Right? Let's pray. Oh, Father, forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us where we have such clear direction from your word and we don't obey it. What in the world can we expect? Father, I just ask that we might humble ourselves before you and repent and say, oh, God, help us. And thank you for your word and the clarity that is there. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of prayer. In Jesus' name.